In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, as is the custom in the local churches, after the Sunday of All Saints, the saints of that local church are celebrated. Since we are part of the Russian church, we celebrate all Russian saints. The Greeks would celebrate all the Greeks, the Serbs, Serbian saints. We also will celebrate some saints, Greek saints, next week. Among my favorites, the new martyrs of the Turkish yoke. It's a traditional, the third week after Pentecost is the traditional time that we do that. Some people might be doing it today. And this reading is about what it takes to be a saint. So the quintessential gospel reading about being a saint would be the Beatitudes. We say the Beatitudes in almost every liturgy. That's the normal thing, to do the Beatitudes. It's only an exception when we do something different. So they're said many, many, many times in a year. So they're very, very important. Now, they're very familiar to us, so familiar that we probably don't really know them, because familiar things we forget about, and we don't value them. So I want to talk about the Beatitudes a little bit, and then concentrate on one Beatitude. Now, the Beatitudes, there are eight. It's an interesting number, isn't it, huh? Eight, the eighth day, perfection. And the Lord gave these Beatitudes not to everyone, but to his disciples. Because it says, seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him. So certainly there might have been others that could hear him, but this sermon was primarily for his disciples. So this is a very special teaching that he's giving. Now, it's to be distributed to everyone else, but it must be understood by his disciples. So he is there alone with them, telling them these things. And if you break down the Beatitudes into two rough groups, then there are the ones about the attributes that you must have in order to have the fruits of holiness of the Spirit, and then those fruits. So there are four that are about the things that we must be, the things that we must strive for. They are, blessed are the poor in spirit, that's humility. Blessed are they that mourn, it's repentance. Blessed are the meek, that's submission because of faith. That's believing in God, having faith, and submitting to God because of your belief. So meekness is not any kind of putting your head down when you're around people and not speaking up. Meekness is actually faith in action, believing that God controls all things, and everything is in his providence. And meekness is that we, therefore, trust in him and live according to who he is. And then the fourth one, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So there must be hunger for righteousness. Humility, repentance, faith, and the submission that comes from faith and obedience. And hunger. Those are the things that are necessary if you are to save your soul. And that's the way it should be said. They are necessary to save your soul. Saving your soul is not just believing in something. Saving your soul is changing to become perfected, to participate in the mercy of God, such that the mercy of God changes you. If it doesn't change you, then it's just like watering a piece of dry wood. It won't grow into a tree. But if you accept the mercy of God and change, then you'll be saved. So these four things are really not the most interesting. It gets more interesting as the Lord proceeds in the Beatitudes, because these are just the building blocks. Humility and repentance and faith and submission and hunger. Without these things, you can't do anything at all. That's why I probably spend an inordinate amount of time speaking about these things in my sermons, because I tell you a lot of times to cultivate these things. That's why I tell you to read the scriptures, to pray the Jesus prayer, because we are lacking in these virtues. But these are not the final virtues. These are just the building blocks. These are just the things that bring us to the fruits. And yet we still need to work on them. We truly are poor and wretched. So now let us come to the four fruits. And they're kind of in two main categories. This brings me back to my days, my Protestant days, when everything had to be, you know, on a PowerPoint slide. I don't want to do that because I don't want to go back there. But there are sort of an understanding of these groups of Beatitudes that lead to other groups. So the first four do lead to the fruits. And the final one is in a category all by itself. So they are, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You could call that love, because God is love and God is merciful. He who loves will be merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. To have purity in our heart is a fruit of our struggles and God's grace assisting us. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. And the last one, in a category to itself, blessed are ye when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he goes on to describe more things about persecuting. And the reason why it is in a category to itself is because our Lord was persecuted. So if we fulfill the Beatitudes, we will be like Christ. And he was persecuted. Now I want to talk about the seventh Beatitude, which is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. There are a lot of very special things that are stated before this Beatitude. Everything is increasing. So, humility, repentance, meekness, hunger, these are not as great as to be a peacemaker. These are what forms a person into being a peacemaker. Even mercy and purity are not as great as being a peacemaker. They are necessary for a person to be a peacemaker. So now let's talk about what being a peacemaker is. It is a spiritual gift. It's a very high gift. We must struggle to obtain this gift. Just because you consider yourself to be a mediocre sinner doesn't mean you shouldn't try to obtain this gift. It's very important to struggle to be a peacemaker. Now, when I thought about it, I was thinking that it's kind of, you can think of being a peacemaker multiple ways. One of the ways, and the smallest way, the way that even unbelievers can do, is to not argue, to not slander, to not fight. Now, that in itself is a great accomplishment, because the majority of the sins of Christians are when they're being stupid with other people. Just look at the way you live your life. How often are you offended with others, and how often do you offend others? It's not being a peacemaker. But that's just a minor thing compared to the greatness of what a peacemaker is. But you have to start with that. So you have to start with not arguing with people, not slandering them, not fighting, thinking the best of them, not having evil thoughts about them, and all the rest. But this is just the beginning. I repeat, it is just the beginning. It's not really anything to, write home about. It's just normal, decent human behavior. Another level of being a peacemaker is when you see someone that is not doing well, you pray for them. You care about them. I once read somewhere in somewhere in the monastic writings, which I think all of us should read, that there was the advice given that if your brother sins against you, don't be offended with your brother, but consider that there must be some mitigating circumstance. He was tempted by the devil in some way. And be pitiful for him and pray for him and excuse him. It's very important to pray for those that offend you, even to pray for those that don't necessarily offend you, but that you know are not peaceful. And that's the majority of us. Not one of us in this room is very peaceful. Let's be completely honest. A higher level of a peacemaker is to facilitate peace among others. And that can be done by getting people to talk, they're arguing with one another, giving counsel, trying to be an example. And that's a very high thing, but it's not as high as the highest kind of peacemaker, and that is to be peace. To be such a person that people feel peace around you. That's why they said when they tried to capture the Lord and the soldiers came back and said they couldn't do it, the soldiers said, no man has spoken like this man, because there was peace in our Lord. And with peace comes strength. And people can see that strength. This is a very high, high bar to be able to be peace. This is when the soul has been transfigured and the soul has become holy. And people can see this peace. Now, some people will see the peace and actually will go to war with this. I mean, after all, the Lord was hounded and eventually crucified. But those that have any availability for the Holy Spirit to touch them will be touched by a person who is at peace. Now let's talk a little bit about what peace is. We sort of have a colloquial meaning of peace that is not remotely close to what it is. The idea of peace and quiet. The idea of peace being, I'm going away from the rat race. I'm going to just lay on a beach and drink umbrella drinks. That's going to be peace for a week. A place where it's quiet. A place where the phone doesn't ring. That's not peace. Now, that's not a very nice idea. Good to do it once in a while. But that's not the peace that is being spoken of here in the Beatitude of blessed are the peacemakers. The greatest war that goes on in the world is not with weapons, not with bombs. It is within the human heart. And each one of us is fighting this battle and winning or losing to a greater or lesser degree. The passions are riled up in us. We feel angry easily. We judge easily. All the other passions, they leave us with no peace. Peace is to be rid of the passions. Doesn't that sound like a good idea to you? That's the reason I became a Christian. When I saw, after my sort of conversion experience, this Protestant conversion experience, that it wasn't remotely close to what I knew the Lord wanted for me. And I saw that the Orthodox Church offered peace. That's all I wanted. And to this day, that is all that I want. And that's all that you should want, is peace. Peace in your heart. Not quietness outside, but quietness inside. Freedom from passion. To be full of love, to be full of light. To be calm. And if a person has that peace in their heart, they will be a peacemaker around others. Not just in a physical way where you facilitate people talking and things like that. That's all good to do. But to be a peacemaker that people somehow know there's something different about you. I'm not really that convinced that I look that much different than anybody else. I think differently than most of the world, but I'm not so sure I look that much different. And we have to look different. This difference has to be an internal difference. Not something you learn from a book, but something that you experience. And if you experience the peace of God in your heart, then that peace of God permeates you and spreads to everyone else. That, by the way, is why icons always have the nimbus or the halo against the body of the saint. If you look at every single one of our icons, the light is flush with their head. It's not floating in the air like Western icons or pictures. The reason why is because that is the uncreated light of God, the energy of God, that so permeates the person that it flows out of them. That is peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. May God help you to be a peacemaker. Amen.